Do you know why rejection hurts so bad? Because the implication of being rejected is you aren't worth anything. See, with Ashdod, by your father not caring enough about you and you're thinking, and they're just hurt and messed up. We're not judging. But in that place, what came across to you when you're not disciplined, what comes across to you when your father won't stay in the picture, even if you've heard everybody's explanations, what actually comes across to you is, I'm being rejected. I'm not worth enough for him to stay here. I'm not worth enough for him to discipline me. That's the real issue here. The real issue here ties back to everything we've been doing for the last few months on our worth. What the cross says is, if your father won't there, I was here. What the cross says, if you don't understand what you're worth, I want you to know you're worth my life. And you've been rejected and told you were worth nothing. You've been rejected in marriages. You've been rejected in your family. You've been rejected by other Christians. You've been rejected by the world. You've been rejected. You've been rejected. You've been rejected. And that says to you, that's the devil saying to you, worthless, 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 worthless. And Jesus is saying, but I say worth everything. Wow. Worth everything. And what God says, when you don't agree with him and the power of his blood and what his word says, you are turned over to a reprobate spirit because you're believing the lie. And that's what talks about exchanging the lie for truth. It's not just the lie about homosexuality or lie about fornication or lie. It's the lie about redemption. It's the lie about your value. It's the lie about your worth that he paid for you. Powerful. He goes on, reprobate means rejected by God without hope of salvation, to disapprove of, condemn, to abandon, to eternal damnation. Think about it. If Satan set you up, and most of you were, deep down in you, because it's this reprobate mind, no wonder you work so hard to try to please God and please people. I've got to prove I'm worth something. I've got to prove that I shouldn't be damned. I've got to prove. That's why works is the curse. You have nothing to prove. It's all been proven. Wow. You have nothing to prove. When you try to prove something that was proven at Calvary, Satan is in charge and he's your God. So works isn't just a little thing. Works is a lifestyle of saying to the devil, am I okay now? Am I okay now? Am I okay now? Instead of realizing from the Father in heaven, you were okay the moment he thought of you. Because what you're saying is, God did not think enough of me or love me enough to give me any worth. Therefore, I've been rejected by God. Therefore, there's no hope for me. Therefore, I've got to go and buy into a doctrine I can invent or make up or agree with that gives me some kind of hope. But it can include a God who had to pay for me to redeem me from the curse of the enemy. Without Christ, you cannot be restored to your righteous place. And Satan knows that. So if he can make you feel like salvation isn't for you, there's no hope for you, he keeps you in his trap. And that's where all this wrong thinking comes from, I believe. Lori did this and she wrote this out. To do the things not right, verses 28, Romans 1, 29 through 31. Having been filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, iniquity, covetousness, malice, being full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, evil habits, whisperers, slander, God-haters, insolent, proud, braggers, advisors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without discernment, covenant breakers, without natural affection. See, that's that hardness of heart. That's that independent spirit. I don't need anybody. Unforgiving, unmerciful. Now she wrote down what some of these mean. I'm going to just do it real quick since she did this. Covet, to desire that which is another's. Wish for excessiveness, malice, desire to harm others, ill will, envy, discontent, and resentment concerning others' possessions, quarrels, angry disputes, finding fault, complaining. Look how much of this is you looking at other people and judging them so that you can try to find some worth in your own self. This reprobate spirit makes you constantly try to find something wrong with everybody so that you can feel okay about you. And if you want to get real with it, and this is what gossip is, you enjoy other people's problems. Oh, it's nasty, but let's face it. Before Christ started changing us, that's where we are. Oh, oh, oh. Deceit, mislead, false, cheat, misrepresent, trick, slander, utterances to injure the reputation or well-being of a person. I have been slandered this week. insolent, presumptuous, insulting in manner, speech, and arrogant. Laurie added this, accepted, not rejected. Jesus was rejected for us. Isaiah 53, 3 and 4. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We did not esteem him. Sure, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's the scripture God gave me to set me free. Rejected is to refuse to accept, recognize, or make use of, to deny, to refuse affection, to discard as defective or useless. Now think about the things Satan has done in your life to make you feel rejected, that you're still defending yourself from and trying to prove wrong and lashing out at, because it hurts to be rejected. Rejected is Satan saying to you and trying to make you think it's what God says about you, that you can't be accepted, you can't even be recognized, he cannot make use of you, you're denied, he will not give you his affection, you are defective and useless. No wonder you don't like it. No wonder Jesus Christ had to be rejected so he could bring healing. Rejection will never feel good, even after you're saved. The difference is, after you're saved, you can forgive the person, hate the devil doing it, and run to God to get healed. And if you're in a situation where the person maybe you're living with, or your children or family members or boss, are rejecting you on a regular basis, you can't change them. But you can change how you handle rejection. You don't have to do drugs to forget about being rejected. You don't have to drink till you can't see. You don't have to curse other people. You don't have to try to work hard and become a workaholic. You don't have to do things to prove anything. What you do with rejection is you run to the feet of Jesus and you say, God, that hurt when they said that about me. Lord, it hurt when that person got up and walked out when I was talking to them. God, it hurt when I felt like I was being denied and not accepted or understood. But you carry that. Could you please heal me? Could you let me know that you love me, that I am accepted? Could you take this pain? I can't explain it when God heals us in our hearts, but it's just as supernatural as when he heals somebody from cancer. We've seen in this ministry real miracles. You'll never convince me that God isn't a healing God and doesn't do miracles, because I've seen them firsthand on many occasions. So you can't talk me out of something that the word says and that I've experienced. It's the same with inner healing. I can't explain to you how spirit damage to my spirit man happens. I can explain to you that Satan did it, but I know this. God comes and he pulls it out as if it never were. And it's like he kisses your boo-boo. He says, it's okay. Your mom still has issues. Yes, she's still being mean to you. But didn't I die for you? Don't I love you? Don't you know how much I care about you? Now, let me say this. You can have hidden knowledge of that, but if you have a reprobate spirit, that sucker jumps right in that head and says, nah, not you. This doesn't work for you. Look how many altar calls you've run up to. Look how much you've been through. Huh. Not for you, not for you, not for you. And that keeps that reprobate mind there because you're agreeing with a lie. Devil, that ain't my thought, because my thoughts line up with that word. My thoughts acknowledge the cross in its fullness of what it accomplished. He took this rejection because he's accepted me. And he's the one that I'm serving. He's the one I want to please. He's the one I love. And he loves me. And his blood was shed for me to feel whole and complete in him. I'm complete in Christ. If you get complete in Christ, the nastiest devil from hell can pick everybody you've ever liked, ever thought good of, ever had anything to do with you. They can all march in at the same time and say the most hateful, spitful, stinky, rotten things that the devil could come up with. And you could sit there and bless every one of them, ask God to forgive them, understand they don't know what they're giving into, and keep on walking with Jesus, knowing you're complete. Quit trying to change everybody else because you're still believing a lie, and let God change you. The reason there's quarrels and anger and defensiveness and gossip and all this is because you won't let God change you, so you're trying to change your environment. If I just stay away from people who get me upset, if I just stay away from people who make me feel bad about myself, if I just stay away from people, you know, what you're basically saying is, if everybody always loves me and agrees with me and thinks I'm fine and dandy, then I'm okay. And you'll realize real quick, there's no such thing as finding those people. So the next thing is, I'll just isolate myself. Let me go in my own little corner, in my own little room. Nobody can stomp all over me. You're going to be a great witness in that little corner in your own little room. You're going to be a light that shines for the glory of God. You know, if you could start to let this sink in and get rid of the reprobate mind and let God heal you, you wouldn't have enough time to be worrying about what you don't like about me. You could get off your little thing about going after your mother or dealing with your sister or going after your father. You know, all of a sudden, you don't have to be doing that anymore. Freedom. Exactly. Freedom. Freedom from what other people care and freedom from that old nasty reprobate mind in you, making you hate you because of the nasty things you do trying to defend yourself. Wow. See, the biggest thing devil has going, if he keeps a reprobate mind while he has you doing all this other mean stuff in your thinking, the one you are mad at the most is yourself. How can I think like that? How can I be like that? Everybody thinks I'm nice, but look what I'm doing. And the truth is, the devil's condemning you while you're condemning everybody else through him. And we need to come to the place and say, that's not me. You have been exposed, you lying demon from the pit. I do not agree with that thought. And you are not going to stay hanging out in my head because I'm getting a hold of this revelation and I don't have to have a reprobate mind anymore. I can have a renewed mind. I can have the mind of Christ and I can be set free from all the junk that got in here in the past. And I can tell by looking at you all, there's not a single one going, not me, not me. I mean, this is a group going, sounds so much meaner when it's called reprobate, you know, just kind of. You know, when you kind of hear it like this with the Spirit of God on it, doesn't it make you hate it?
Yes.
Until you hate something, you get to keep it. I want you to hate it. The anointing of God wants you to hate it. The problem with Christians is we categorize sin. We categorize the fruit of the issue. And then if it's something that people don't think is so bad, we get to nurse it and hang on to it or hide it. And it still condemns us. And we're not free. And it's easy to still see somebody touch the buttons. Woo! I mean, if I had buttons right now, I'd be lit up like, yeah! There's still a few buttons. I find them every now and then. But I've learned what to do with them. That's not me. That person right now who hates that person, that's not me. I know that I love everybody. I know what God's word says. I know that I forgive everybody. I know he's changed my heart. So whoever you are in there, you're coming out. I'm going to say, I'm coming out. Yeah. No, I'm staying in. You're coming out. You've disguised yourself and wrapped yourself in my body. Got your little tentacles in my brain. And for so long, I bought that I had you, that you and I had something in common. But I'm realizing now, I am made in the image of Christ. I believe what he says. He set me free from you, and you're going to go. Because I don't want you anymore. That's not my thought. I love that person. I forgive that person. I love my kids. I'm not going to hurt my kids. I'm telling some of your different things. No matter what he does, it's when you begin to say, I am not depressed. Devil, you're depressed. You ought to be depressed. You're going to hell. But I'm no longer letting you get in my mind thinking you're me. My gosh, if the devil's in your brain making you think you're him, you will be depressed. Depressed, oppressed, possessed. Truthfully, who gives a hoot which one it is as long as you get free? Well, I don't know if you can be possessed. I look at him and think, I do. If you got to debate it, you're already scared about it. When are we going to get free and quit being so prideful? Oh my gosh, God is setting people free. We're a bunch of people in here declaring we're reprobates. Ha ha! Actually, we're declaring that the reprobate spirit's in us, but it's not us. We're a new creation in Christ, and this old thing from the past is coming out.
Amen.
And it's not going to have any more authority. I'm going to tell you something. I think what we've done in the past, as we've seen bits of this, we've renounced that particular thing, and it's lost some power, and we lost that. But the overall strong man of the reprobate spirit, the overall strong man that keeps some of that junk in there, even when you're not feeding it, I really believe when it goes, you won't have to fight those thoughts anymore.
Oh,
you know... Those lustful thoughts are reprobate spirit. Because what's a lustful thought? Man, you know, I'll do it guy's version because they're the ones who do this more than, but not anymore. Now it's both ways. Did you? Anyway, but it's like, did you see that? That's, man, I would have more worth if I could get a hold of that person, and I get to judge them. I get to decide where their value is. I get to make them my possession. I get to be in charge, you filthy, nasty thing. They were created for God's good pleasure, not your filthy, stinking, demonic lust. And we bought into a society that this is okay and this is okay. It's all a reprobate. But when we can begin to say, God, forgive me. Let me tell you, you want to get free from this, because on Judgment Day, every single thought, every single word that hasn't been come under the blood of Christ is going to be exposed. Can you imagine people who haven't had this teaching? Can you imagine sitting up there in front of all the people who ever got into heaven and God saying, remember when you thought this? And you thought this, and you thought this, and I'm thankful that I can get free here. Yes. Yes. You may sit there for people who say, well, I don't believe in any of that. Fine. On your judgment day, you will. But at least when I come up, and they're going to think, well, let's hear hers. Hey, baby, what you doing? Hi, God. Good and faithful servant. And they'll say, did she live a perfect life? No. But she believed in a deliverance message, and she believed in a God who said anything that I would give to him, that I would share with, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another, that he would be faithful and just and forgive that and forget it. Everybody's going to go through it. You can just choose to do it now with some humility. I mean, this is humbling to some degree, although we've gotten to where we all know we're wicked, so it isn't that hard. You know, I mean, we know we're the righteousness of Christ, but we know Satan did some stuff, even in the best of best. And so it's not that difficult once you pass that barrier. Still hard for some people who still have their coping mechanisms hiding things so good. Get over it, folks. We all know you're junky. But there's no condemnation in Christ. You're the only one having a hard time with it. I mean, Jesus already knew you needed him to die for you. Just get a hold of it for your own self. Let me go on. God accepts us. He wants us. He chose us. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places with Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, by his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The word accepted, to receive gladly, give special honor to, favor, to take willingly. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me will by no means be cast out. John 6:37. Isn't that good? So what is truth? Before the foundations of the world, before the first sin, God already loved you. He already accepted you. He already chose you, and you were his. Do you know that before Adam and Eve fell into sin, you would have been born knowing that? Jesus was born knowing that. When you are born again, you start the journey back to knowing that. And all the pressure is gone. Hallelujah. There is a rest.